Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, episode 63, The Portland Kitchen. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to the show. I'm Roger, your host, and this is the podcast that helps aspiring home cooks grow their skills and confidence in the kitchen. I've got a really cool show lined up today. Before I get there, though, I just want to remind everybody that you can send me an email if you have questions or comments or just want to get in touch to say hi. I'd love to hear from you. Send me an email to feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. I read all my emails and I respond to all of them. And if you have a good question or tip or anything like that, I'm happy to share it on an upcoming episode. And of course, I've mentioned before, you can find me on Twitter and Facebook, all those social media type places. And of course, I'm now on Google Play Music with a lot of other very cool podcasts. So if you're coming to me from Google Play, welcome. If you're coming to me from anywhere, iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or wherever, thanks for finding the show and downloading it. All right. I don't want to do too much housekeeping up front because I've got a really great conversation I want to share with you. I had a chance to sit down with Joy Church, who is the executive director of the Portland Kitchen. And the Portland Kitchen is a nonprofit that is near and dear to my heart. It's a organization based out of Portland, Oregon, that helps at-risk kids learn to cook. Now, they might learn to cook for their own family or their friends, or they might take the skills that they learn from the Portland Kitchen program and put those towards a culinary career as they get older. It just depends on what the kids are looking for. But the bottom line is, the Portland Kitchen gives them an opportunity to learn from some of the city's best chefs and food entrepreneurs and restaurateurs, the skills it takes to make it in the kitchen. This is a really fun episode. I just want to say right up front that if you're interested in the Portland Kitchen after you listen to this episode and you want to help them out, I really, really do encourage you to go to their website, which is theportlandkitchen.org. And there you can see everything you'd ever want to know about their program. They've got some great videos, but more importantly, they have links to all of their upcoming events and ways that you can help out, whether it's donating money or any number of volunteer opportunities that you can take part in. So if you did that, it would mean a whole heck of a lot to me if you went over and checked out their website, and it would certainly mean the world to the students that go through the Portland Kitchen program. And I will put everything about the Portland Kitchen in a show notes page at kitchencounterpodcast.com/63. All right. I don't want to take up too much more time. So let's jump right into the conversation I had with Joy Church at the Portland Kitchen.
I'm the executive director of the Portland Kitchen. My name's Joy Church, and I will be celebrating my one-year anniversary with this great organization on May 26th.
Super. And so tell me about the Portland Kitchen. So I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but give folks a history, if you will,
sure,
of where it came from and what it does.
So the Portland Kitchen was founded by Abby Herrera. She decided that as part of her master's thesis, she wanted to open a nonprofit that worked with food and teenagers. And she then started looking at business models around the country to see if there was something out there already that existed. And there wasn't a lot, but she found Brain Food in Washington, D.C., and they have a really remarkable program there. And so she put together a model and worked with them a little bit on starting something here in Portland, Oregon. And it took about 3 or 4 years to take that dream to a reality state to get the first session open. So our first group of 20 students started in 2012. We've been open for just 3 years. And so we have grown since then. We are doubling in size as of this summer. So today is our first day of summer recruitment here at the Portland Kitchen, and we'll be recruiting for 40 kids this summer. We're super excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so what I like about what the Portland Kitchen does, and just actually a quick aside, there's Brain Food in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Is this a common sort of a model, or is this a common type of an organization? Can people go to their own town and go, oh, here's a Portland Kitchen analog here?
You know, it doesn't appear to be the case, which seems so surprising and unfortunate. My dream goal is that we become the what would you call it? The franchisee almost around the country.
The blueprint, really.
So, you know, that's something that we definitely like to do. We don't want to just stay in Portland. We want to grow and grow and grow because this is an important issue of health and nutrition and teaching kids how to cook, to deal with obesity, all of these things that we are tackling in the classroom here. You know, it's a problem throughout the country. So, you know, if we had the money to do it, we would be all over everywhere now.
So tell me about the kids that come through the program. So how do you find them? Who are they?
Right.
And what are they looking to get out? Because I assume it's selective because you're not a huge program. So you can only take in so many students per session.
Right. So we actually recruit at Park Rose and Madison High Schools. And those are in the outer northeast Portland area. And they are considered food deserts. So for a food desert really is, if you're living in the area and it takes you more than a mile to find local sustainable foods, that's a food desert. And so that is where we are. And this is where we sit right now as we speak. We're in a food desert here. So, kids don't have access to fresh, local, sustainable ingredients, within 1 mile of their homes. So that's why we target this area, because otherwise it truly is being raised on fast food and things that are very, very processed. And those things, as we know now, lead to poor health and all of those factors.
I was actually thinking about this on the drive over here today. And I'm biased, of course, because I like to cook. But I actually couldn't think of an activity. I honestly could not think of an activity that has pretty much all positive benefits and really no negative benefits that cooking for yourself has.
Exactly.
Maybe exercise. But then if you're a mountain climber, you could fall off a mountain, I suppose. You know what I mean? It's like, if you cook for yourself, you save money.
Mm-hmm.
You probably eat better unless you're making, I don't know, deep fried mozzarella sticks for dinner every night, which, hey, more power to you. Or you're spending more time with your family.
Right.
So, I mean, it's like net positive. I don't know of another thing that really is more beneficial for somebody to know if they want to know it. I'm not saying people need to.
No, I think that this is a really positive part of the program. And we do hear it from potential students when they come to our interviews, that oftentimes we hear that they don't know how to take care of themselves. They'll say they're in foster care, they're going to turn 18, they're going to be on their own, and they've never had the opportunity to learn how to cook. And so for themselves, this is a practical skill they know they need to take care of themselves. And that same person and others talk about, well, I know I need to get a job to help my mom pay the rent, so I need to get a job next year, and I need a practical skill. And so we give them that skill. And then we have other kids, they know they want to be a pastry chef. They know they want to be the next great butcher. And so for those kids, they have a targeted goal and we can make that happen for them. And then there are others that, you know, they're just testing it out. Some of our students are only 14 years old. They don't know at all what they want yet, but this is a great, fun program. They're going to make new friends and they're going to learn something valuable and they can take it home and cook for themselves and their families. So it's a win-win all the way around.
And they build confidence.
Exactly.
And so the ages, it ranges from 14 to 18?
That's right.
Okay. So it's not older than 18, generally not younger, because you probably need to be, 14 to have like a food handler's card
Something like, you know, for us with our program, we were targeting high school students. And we are looking at adding an additional course for older youth, 18 to 22, 24, something like that down the road, for those people that are really actively wanting practical skills to get a job, just so they can pay their own rent, put themselves through school, that kind of thing. But the original goal of the Portland Kitchen was around high school students. So for the time being, we've continued with that because the model has really been working. But kids can get their food handler's card at age 14, but it expires when they're 16. So most of those kids then have to re-up it anyway to be able to get a job. Most restaurants are not hiring 14-year-olds.
Right, right.
You know, you're talking about knives, fire, small cramped spaces.
Undercooked,
you know,
proteins.
So that's understandable why, you know, it's like most restaurants, it seems, want to hire 18 and up.
Interestingly, and obviously this is way outside of your scope, but I can totally see a place for like a Portland Kitchen type program for adults.
Oh, completely. I hear it all the time from people that say, oh my gosh, I want to take this class.
Right. And I want to take this class.
I want to take it too. It's something that we've talked about. And as we build infrastructure, I think we will do some fee-for-service classes for adults, like kind of one-off things that we've heard about people wanting to take. As an example, in our summer program, it's very intensive. So by the fourth day, typically our students will each have their own chicken and they're butchering it. And what I hear from a lot of adults, they don't know how to do that. They realize that this is would be a great skill for them to themselves to learn, and they'd be willing to pay for the privilege. So it could be another revenue source for us as we grow. But right now, there are just two of us, so we're a little too small to take on some of these, you know, additional great ideas.
And that's a great idea for additional revenue. I know a lot of people that will probably pay to take cooking classes from the Portland Kitchen as opposed to their local appliance store or whatever that does it, you know, which is fine too. But another thing I really like about your model is you really seem to be very good at getting the food community involved with the program. So every time I'm on your email list, I check out, I mean, your Facebook, I check out all your stuff, and I'll put links to all that stuff in the show notes. So if anybody wants to find you, they'll be able to. But you're always having these amazing chefs or restaurateurs in to talk about, you know, making a certain dish, or you're having the Nikki USA people coming in and talking about how to butcher game, or you're having, you know, whoever it is, people really seem interested to help out, which I think is cool. Can you talk a little bit about
that? Sure. I'm glad that you think so. Yeah, we have worked really hard to work with the local food community. And a lot of that effort is through our culinary director, Ariel Clark. She's done a great job of finding partnerships with local chefs. She's a chef in her own right and has a lot of experience in the Portland restaurant community. And so she's used those connections to our advantage. And Mark is from Nikki USA. He works there and he's on our board of directors. And so he, as part of his work, helps to champion the Portland Kitchen. And so through the two of them, we've been able to really connect to a lot of local chefs. And, you know, when people hear about this concept, if you like food, you're probably going to be into this program. Mm-hmm. And then we're really close here to Rossi Farm. So Joe Rossi, it's a fifth generation farm. And so they supply a lot of our vegetables, and we do a tour so kids can go on the farm and see what that looks like. We work with the Portland Fruit Tree Project. So in the summertime, the kids get to go out and volunteer to pick fruit in people's yards and kind of see gardening in real action for the first time. So there are many ways that we use food and volunteerism to create activists and advocates out of these students in their own neighborhoods. But people seem interested. You know, I hadn't heard of the Portland Kitchen until I was asked to apply for the position. And the second I heard about it, it was thrilling to me. And I think for a lot of people, they have that same reaction. You know, it's kids and food. What a great combo.
Yeah. And it's been fun for me because I think, I don't know if we were recording yet or not, but we were talking earlier about it because I was kind of watching this when I wasn't there watching it when it was first thought up by Abby. But I mean, I kind of saw pre-classes and everything, just kind of watch it grow. And that's kind of exciting too, to watch something that's so unique and so interesting and so vital to these kids' lives kind of sprout up, no pun intended, and, you know, grow into something that sounds like it's expanding and growing and
yeah, we've done more and more. To be able to grow, we just have to raise our profile and raise more revenue, of course. So as a nonprofit, we write a lot of grants and we do a lot of asking people for money. But we also have started to do a lot of fundraisers as well. So they're fun events. We've got one coming up at the rooftop of the Indigo Building on June 1st. And that's being sponsored by Northwest Priority Credit Union. And that will be our teens with adult chef leaders, and they're doing a burger battle. That'll be really fun, but people wanted to get behind that. So Bowie Beer, Catman Cellars will be there. Nikki USA and the co-owner Bonnie of Koshka will be judging, along with the president and CEO of Northwest Priority Credit Union will be judging too. And so, you know, these kinds of things come together and they're fun fundraisers. You get to eat some great food, see kids in action, and, you know, benefit the community. So this is really something, you know, we're talking about creating healthy citizens for our future here in Oregon. So I think this is something that most people can, you know, get behind. Mm-hmm. And tickets to our events usually are between, you know, $50 to $100. So, you know, they're affordable things to do that make a real impact.
Yeah.
So if you're going to go out and eat anyway, why
not? Yeah, that's a fun night.
Exactly.
So what are the kids cooking? I mean, can we talk a little bit about like what happens actually in the kitchen? So
absolutely.
I'm assuming they're learning things like food safety, of course, I'm sure.
Of course.
Knife skills.
Exactly.
How to select ingredients, but what kind of food are they cooking?
Yeah,
is this simple stuff, complex stuff?
It's a little bit of both, and all the basics are covered, of course. So the kids, part of the program is that the kids are being taught to be able to pass the food handler's test. And so sometimes, you know, you can pretty easily go online and take the food handler's test, but to really know how to put those skills to use is a very different animal. And so that's something that we want to make sure kids really, really have a handle on those skills. So they're not just passing the test. It's about being able to put those skills to use. So it is about food safety and knife skills. And, you know, it's a lot of science, math, and technical reading that goes into cooking. And I think we tuck those things in without kids realizing it. Mm-hmm. But being able to read a recipe is important. And then being able to riff off of a recipe is the fun part, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But kids are going to, we take them on trips. As an example, we just went to New Seasons. So they were able to tour the store and learn from the different, like the cheese purveyor, the meat monger, all of these people in the stores, and they're able to see how a store operates and how to shop in the store. And then also we do mock interviews and resume writing with the kids too, to get them ready to really go out and be able to use the skills and get jobs. But as an example, you know, Rick, the owner of Lardo and Grassa, he comes in and he teaches pasta making with the kids. So he brings in the rollers and they're rolling out all kinds of pasta, and he makes sauce and teaches them, you know, how he makes his sauces. Nikki USA, like you had mentioned, they come in and they show us how to butcher chickens, butcher pigs, how to make our own sausages from scratch. Some really intensive things that, you know, a lot of us don't know how to do. And then we also try to add a lot of cultural pieces into the program as well. So as an example, we just had a woman from Syria come in, and she did a whole segment on her family culture, how she grew up, pictures of her family, music, dance, as well as the food of her country. And that really brought home for the kids. You know, most of our students, when we ask them, when you hear Syria, what do you think of? And they said war. Mm-hmm. And that's the only word they had to describe Syria. And now they have a whole other language around this country through this food that we did in the class. So we try to bring in as much of that as possible, because that has a huge impact, I think, on people's lives that, you know, otherwise all they're hearing about is what they hear on TV. So we do all the basics of sauces, soups, stocks, all of those things. And so they can build upon those skills later. And then we do a lot of baking. You know, baking is its own animal too. Mm-hmm. So cooking, you know, you can kind of fix it if you mm-hmm. mess it up. Whereas with baking, you really need to follow the recipe. Mm-hmm. If you want the cake to turn out right, you need to follow the basic recipe. And so we do a whole section on that as well.
That's great.
Because we want to make sure kids really know they can make their own bread. They can make their own birthday cake for their families. They can make their own muffins and scones, all of those things too. They really are a different skill set.
That's incredible. Yeah. I'm notoriously a terrible baker. I can make a couple of things, but and you're right. It's cooking. You can riff a lot. You can just kind of wing it. You can grab stuff out of your fridge and heat it up.
Exactly.
Baking, and that's my wife is much better at baking, so
I mean, I remember being a kid, and I got into baking early, cookies, of course, and I wanted to show off to my friends, and so I'm like, I'm going to make some cookies. I don't know, I was maybe 9 years old or something, and I opened up the oven and it was just running. This dough was running all over the oven. How embarrassing. But you know, I forgot the baking soda. So, one thing changes everything. You know, you just can't turn it into a soup. It's not the same thing.
Cookie soup. So many good ideas.
You know, whereas as if you have a sauce and you add too much water, well, suddenly you've got a soup, right? I mean, you can just make it into something else. So it is kind of a different thing.
Are you at the classes when they happen?
I'm very rarely here.
Oh, very rarely.
Yeah,
because I was going to ask you, like, what's the favorite thing you've eaten that the students have made? But you've been to events.
I've been to a lot of our events. So we do a restaurant simulation with the students, and then we do family meal where we bring up to 90 people from the families of the students. So I get to eat their food a lot, which is a fortunate part for me. Gosh, let me see. Everything is always really amazing, and our guests are always so surprised at what the kids are able to make. At the teen cook-off in April, the winning team made scotch eggs, but we didn't have the sausage, so they wrapped them in bacon instead. Fantastic.
Sounds
so that
good.
Was delicious and such a beautiful presentation. So Ariel's teaching the kids not only all the food safety and the skills and how to make food, but how to plate it and present it as well. And so these things look gorgeous, and they're being judged at a very high skill level. So that was really delicious. I got one little bite, and actually that's being featured at the Hollywood Whole Foods right now.
Oh, okay.
They are calling it eggs in a blanket. And what I think is so sweet of them, I went in and it wasn't in the hot station. And so I went and said, you know, where is it? It's supposed to be here. And they said, well, gosh, the recipe your kids created is so labor intensive that we're only doing it during our busiest times because we can gear up. We have staff on at 1 for lunch and 7 for dinner. We have enough staff here to be able to make the dish that you created.
Wow.
So here are these 15-year-old girls. They were the winners, made this really incredibly intensive dish.
It's funny you say that because, and we talked about this at the beginning or before, but it's like, if you want to feel inadequate as a cook, watch any TV show where like the kids are cooking, like the Chopped Juniors or Master Chef Junior. And it's like, are you kidding me? It's like, wow, they're incredible.
I know, they're food prodigies.
Yeah. It's not to take anything away from them, but you watch it and you're like, wow. You know,
that's intense.
It's shocking. So what inspires you the most about the Portland kitchen and working here?
That's a great question, and I have so many answers.
Pick your best.
I know. I'm really inspired by the students here. I think it takes so much dedication and commitment to be a part of this program. You know, it isn't for everybody. The school year program is 8 months long. It's 2 days a week, and it's a serious commitment. You know, it's a problem if you miss too many classes because you can't make them up. So we're constantly, every time we meet, we cook. So you're learning a new skill every time you're here. So if you get behind, it's really hard to get caught up. So that's a lot of, you know, I don't know if I could say I could show up for 8 months consistently. So I'm just enamored that these kids make this huge commitment. And then the summer session, you know, it's 4 days a week for 7 weeks. And so it is really, really intensive. You know, I think that's so impressive that you're getting a summer vacation and you're using it to learn a new skill and feed your family. So that really, really inspires me. And I just think that Portland Kitchen is a great model, and I want to, you know, share it with more and more teenagers and older youth as we grow. So I think there are just so many things that we can do with this in our community and, you know, help people be successful citizens of Portland.
So for folks listening, and I have a lot of listeners in Oregon, but I have a lot of listeners who aren't. So if people are interested in helping out, what are some of the best ways they can do that? I assume they can give you money, of course. That's always an option. So that's option number one. And it doesn't matter where you live if you want to do that. That's but what right. are some yeah. things that maybe some local folks could do if they're interested?
Right. So we have a very aggressive fundraising plan around events. So we really do need people to help us on all kinds of levels to spread the word, get marketing materials out, posters out in the neighborhoods. We need people who can help us with our new gardening initiative that we just started. So if you're interested in gardening, we could use your help. We've just started weeding this morning. And then we are always looking for people who want to come and assist in our programs. You don't have to be a great chef. If you're interested in helping, we need people to help us, you know, set up and clean up and just mentor students. So if you're interested in kids and just like being around them, this is the place to be. And there's more information on our website at theportlandkitchen.org. And people can always call me directly too. My number is 503-453-5421. And if there are other talents that people have, if you're into IT or whatever it is, we probably need your help. We're a very, very small nonprofit. So there are all kinds of things. If you're an accountant and you want to crunch numbers, call me. You know, we're happy to have you. So if there's something that you're interested in doing that I have not listed, do not count yourself out. You know, we would love to have your support.
Awesome. So I'll include all that stuff in the show notes. So if anybody wants to find you on, I think you're on Twitter and Facebook.
Yes.
And your webpage, of course, and you know, to keep up on current events. And I think you have an email list as well.
Yes.
So there's all sorts of ways to get involved, and I'll make sure people can find that. So Joy, thank you so much for sitting down and talking.
Thank you very much. This is great. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Roger.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Joy Church at the Portland Kitchen. As I said in the introduction, this is a nonprofit that's really near and dear to my heart because, of course, it deals with teaching kids how to cook, how to be professional in the kitchen, grow their skills, grow their confidence, give them tools that they can use in a culinary career or just to feed themselves and their family. It's really a great thing that they do at the Portland Kitchen. So please, kitchencounterpodcast.com/63, go check them out. I'll have links to everything they do. All right. If you want to find out more about my show, of course, head over to thekitchencounterpodcast.com. And you can send me an email at feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com or find me on Twitter and Facebook. And if you have time and you're so inclined and you'd like to help the show out, it would be great if you went over to iTunes or Stitcher or wherever it is that you download the podcast and leave a rating and review. That would really help me out and get me into more ears, so to speak. Well, folks, that's all I've got for today. Thanks again so much for downloading and listening to the show. I'll be back in a week or so with another full-length episode. I've got a ton of really, really interesting stuff coming up in the weeks ahead. So stick around, subscribe, and I'll see you next time. And until then, happy cooking.